This is our first week of a four-week process that I go through every December. A lot of you are familiar with it because you've been with me in the past as we go through goal setting, and I'm very committed to it. I always want people to springboard into the next year in an incredible way, because I believe that goal setting is absolutely essential for success. Do I say that a person won't be successful if they don't set goals? Well, there are people out there that are, but I will guarantee those same people are the ones that go from success to failure to success. Those are the make a million, lose a million people, because they really don't have a strategy or support system or plan behind their whole process. And it's critically important for you to have a plan, to have a strategy, and at the base of that strategy is a goal. You've got to set a goal. There has to be a direction. And as I look at goals, a lot of you have heard me talk about this, I look at goals as putting a rudder in the water. In other words, it gives you direction. Because a sailboat without a rudder just goes where the wind blows it. But you got to put the rudder into the water, and that's what guides the boat to take a specific direction. And it's your control over that rudder that allows you to have, make directional changes when needed. So the importance for us is to make sure that we have a goal, we have a direction we're going in. It's easy not to have a direction, but it's easy to have a direction too. And we're going to talk about those distinctions. So what I want to kick off with is just a little bit out of Robert Fritz's book, because it was one of my, I really enjoyed his book when I read it years ago, and I've done some rereading in it recently. And it's called Your Life as Art, and it really is about your ability to create the results in your life. Because some of you sit back, and I really want to make it clear for those of you, I'm not taking over control that God has in your life. That's very clear. But we have free will. And that free will gives us a tremendous possibility to create things in our own lives because of free will. And God gave you free will with purpose. So the idea is how we exercise that free will to create greatness in our life, to honor, as I look at it, to honor God. And so that's my life. My life is about how I behave and how I act and what I do in my life and the integrity and the honor that I give Him every day of my life. And that also has to do with what I create in my life. In fact, a lot of my goals, if you look at my goals and the direction and what I want to create, it's all about, foundation work and other things and mission field things and supporting the church and some new activities we have in mind. So it just, you can't go, don't go south on me from a spiritual perspective. This is all related, highly related to your spiritual side. So looking at Robert Fritz's book, he talks about creating goals successfully is not the aim of his book, that book, Life as Art. Many people can create important life goals only later to lose the success they manage. So the idea in his book, he really is emphasizing you must learn how to keep successes, build upon it, and have to lead to further success. So you have a success, build on it, lead to other successes. So success becomes a word in your vocabulary, it becomes an example of your life forever. So it's not a hit and miss type thing. And that's the goal that he sets for his book. So we don't start with goals. A lot of you take my pathway class, which we're about to kick off again in January. We don't start with goals. We really start with something we call values and vision first. And whenever you do goal setting, don't just start writing down what your goal is in 12 months and 6 months. Always start looking at who am I? So it's important for you to go into that direction. But some of you, before we even get started, are saying, well, why should I start goals? Because what do we get when we talk to people about goal setting? We get a lot of renegades out there, as I call them. There are people that will sit back and they'll say, Mary Jo, I don't want to set goals. And the classic responses, when I ask them why they don't want to set goals, the classic responses I get is, number one, they have never worked for you. And first I want you to examine that statement and say, why are you allowing your past to control your future? I mean, the surest road and pathway to depression is saying my past controls my future. Because that just kind of quashes your thoughts or your ability to ever create anything great. I mean, you look back at your past and you go, okay, so that means I can't do anything X, I can't do X, Y, Z because I'm controlled by my... It's a ridiculous assumption. But we have a lot of people that do that. They judge their life, and typically more so in this quadrant are people in the analyst quadrant. They judge their life based on probabilities versus possibilities, because that's really what it is. It's like looking at your past and judging, okay, based on these 10 things that happened in my past, this is my probability of creating something in the future. And I'm saying your past doesn't control your future. You can create whatever you want, but you have to believe in one thing is a tremendous important aspect of this to believe in, and that is the ability to change. And I don't care what age you are. I don't care if you're 75 or 85 or 55 or 25. All of us can change. I keep going through a metamorphosis in my life. I find myself changing every day. I love my aha moments. I had another one the other day, and I just went, wow. There are the exhilarating parts of my life that I can see where I can be different. I responded to somebody the other day on an email like I never would have responded in the last 50 years of my life. So it was a new me that came across in that email, and it felt so good. And it was in response to somebody who slammed me about something, and I came from an incredibly loving heart, and I just, you know, my normal response went back to the lawyering years, and I was like, whoop, not doing that. You know, I'm here to shower love on people, even when they show disrespect for me. Disrespect for disrespect gets you nowhere, and we've all learned that lesson, but you know what, our pride gets in the way. But anyway, but we know we can change. Each one of us can change. We can move forward, we can change, and knowing that change is possible, that means that why don't we come from possibilities in our life? So if you find yourself saying, I don't want to set goals because they've never worked for me, I want you to first look at, number one, quit living from probability and start living from possibility. Number two, they have never worked for you. They. You notice how we go victim to our goals. We go victim that they never worked. I want to suggest to you that what's not working here is not the goal. Setting the goal is not the problem. Now, some of you might set goals that are ridiculous, and then you need to get somebody in your life to review them for you and have like a mastermind group or a brainstorming that maybe you're biting off too much to chew. But the goal isn't what's not working for you. What's not working is you. You work for the goal. The goal doesn't work for you. Now, and if technically the goal will work for you, and I'll tell you why, because it does get that rudder in the water, but when you abandon the goal or you have disbelief in the goal, and I hear so many people go, well, Mary Jo, I really want to be presidential, and I go, well, do you believe you can be there? No. And I go, well, then don't put it as a goal. Because if you don't believe in it, then you're step one, you're stepping out and saying, I don't believe in it. You've got to believe in the goals that you set. They might push you a little bit, and if they're not pushing you out a little bit, then they're not proper goals. But you got to have a belief system. Otherwise, if you start off not believing in it, what are you doing? You're putting all the energy in believing it won't happen, and what are you going to create? What you believe. It's the power of your belief, the magic of the belief system. So you've got to be committed to it. So kick that out, the idea of they don't work for you, and start anew. And for some of you who are in that posture, I'm just going to suggest you bite off a smaller bite, because that might help you see it work for you. Number two is you feel like you've failed when you have not met them in the past, so why go through the depression? And I'm going to try to adjust that for you, saying, number one, hope is eternal. We always have hope. There's always hope for a better future. Number two, don't ever get depressed if you don't meet a goal. Just learn from it, see what the competing commitments were that didn't allow you to achieve it, and make a better choice the next time. Goal setting and going after those goals isn't always about meeting the goal exactly. It's about how far it took you because you had the goal in place. So let's say you set a goal to be national director by, you know, December 31st this year, and you're not quite there. But you know what? If you wouldn't have had the goal, you probably would never have gotten where you did get to. So there's still some tremendous value in having that goal. So it's not just always about crossing the finish line every time. It's about how far it motivated you to get. And then looking at it and evaluating what did or I didn't do that supported, what did I do and what didn't I do? Because what you do and what you is equally as problematic as what you didn't do in reaching a goal. because you put other things in front of it, competing commitments, like I said, time commitments. So it's important to look at all of those things. And then another response that I typically get is just a lot of extra work. And I'm telling you, no greater work out there than getting yourself structured and having a direction. There is no greater. There's no greater thing you can do for success than set goals. And without them, like I said, I don't think you'll ever be successful, or not for long term, short term perhaps, but not long term. So all you got to do, and this isn't coming just from Mary Jo. This is literally years and years of research and book writing, and any success book you ever read, they're going to talk about goal setting, and they're all going to say one thing: written goals, right? They're all going to say, put your goals in writing. Virtually every successful person that I've ever read books about, that's what they always tell me, to write goals. So, and I wasn't a major goal writer early in my life, but I've become one that does it every single year. I go through this exercise, the same thing you go through if you play along with me over the next 4 weeks. I know that, I'm doing exactly the same thing because I'm so convicted about it in my life. So we set goals, and if you don't set goals, here's another way of looking at it. If you don't set goals, you're living life by chance and circumstance. Chance and circumstance. If you set goals, you'll now be living life by choice and commitment. And that's my choice. I like the choice and commitment because that gives me direction. So, opening premise, why we need to set goals. Secondly, we talked about where do we get started. We get started with values and vision because values are our underlying core beliefs. They're our highest aspirations, and those are truly our truest desires. So we want to make sure that we understand our values and understand our passion. So, looking at the outline, you can see the journey becomes an aimless pursuit of reality when you don't start with an agenda or a passion or looking at what your core values are. So we want to make sure that we are out there, doing something meaningful, but it's meaningful as it reflects who we are. If you take on somebody else's goals or passion, that's not going to work for you. Each one of us is created uniquely and differently. So the importance is to do some digging for yourself about who you are, what you value most in life, what's important to you, and really finding that passion. Because that passion is what's going to be the fire in your gut to cause you to create greatness in your life. And if some of you say, well, I don't even know that I have a passion, all of us have it. All of us have it. You may have poured enough water on it over the years to kind of dilute it or to mask it, but it's there, and it just would take some meditation time and prayer time and just thoughtful time to dig that back up again. And you're going to find the people that have washed it away and diluted it, and again, not washed away, but dimmed it or diluted it, you're going to find that you have a major battle to fight because your subconscious is going to continue treating it like you've treated it in the past. So you're going to go into a battle with your subconscious over this. But it's a great battle to be fought, because otherwise if you don't fight the battle, then I want you just to go out and get yourself a white flag and just wave it, because now you're just surrendering to never finding that passion. So have the battle. Take on the battle. It's worth every fight, every bit. So a vision must be consistent. So you find your passion, find what you really love, and vision must be consistent with values. So you can start looking at what your vision is for your life, know your values. And what I think that you want to do is you want to look at values and limit your value choices to like 10. And some people, you don't want to go too far out there. You don't want to, when you start taking on 20 values, in fact, I really myself relate to 5. I look at 5 core values every year, and they may be different from year to year. My first one never changes, but the other ones can change from year to year, perhaps, because I've seen at least the number 4 and number 5 can change. My first 3, honestly, I think over the last 5-10 years, my first 3 have not changed, but the other 2 have changed because they really are more directional for me on what I need to work on. And it's not that the other things I don't value anymore. It's just that I feel like I've really conquered them. So I might have two that I'm really working on, but you want to be clear on that. So you want to work on the choosing those. And to find, some people say, well, Mary Jo, I have a hard time finding out what my vision is, even to start on my value process, you know. And I gave you some questions that were given to me back in 1999, never a better time, when I first kicked off in Manatech, and my upline said, okay, you're going to do the business, let's start with this. And this is what she started with. She gave me some paperwork that asked these questions. If you discovered that you only had 1 year to live, how would you live? Where would you go? Who would you be with? If you won $3 million after taxes, what would you do differently? What do you enjoy so much that you would do it without pay? I heard that just this weekend. I was at a Christian conference with Kay Arthur and Beth Moore and Priscilla Shire. In fact, if you haven't heard of Priscilla Shire, I think you ought to jump on any book she's written. I'm going to her next conference here in Fort Worth, and incredible lady. But she said that when she graduated from college, and she was a very, very intelligent woman and had a lot of opportunities in the business world, and she went to her, but she had this yearning in her heart to do ministry work. So she didn't, that conflict arose in her. And her dad, she sat down with her dad, who is a brilliant man as well, and she asked him, she said, Dad, what should I do? I got this conflict. I have all these great business opportunities here, but I feel a yearning in my heart around ministry. And he said, honey, I'm going to ask you one question. What would you do, what do you enjoy so much, and what would you do in your life that you would do even if you never got paid for it? And she looked at the business opportunities, and she looked at the ministry work, and it was so clear to her, crystal clear. And that made her decision for her, and she never looked back. She's been in the ministry ever since. So it's a great question to ask you. What do you enjoy so much that you do it without pay? And what five things would you like to be remembered for when you die? That's a legacy. So those are great questions, people. And if you just spend an hour of time just answering those questions, and by yourself, do some digging, that'll give you some incredible insight into yourself that you may not have had before. But they're great questions. And that's how I started. And then after that, I want you to, this is kind of my own addition to it, is to draft a to-be list. Because I've done a lot of work in self-development, and I know, you know, the be, do, have whole scenario. Some of you are familiar with it, some not, but it's a triangle, you know, to be, to do, to have. And a lot of people think that if you do, you have. And they leave out the most important part of that triangle, which is the opening base premise, which is to be. If you don't work on your beingness, it doesn't matter how much you do, whatever you end up having will disappear because the beingness isn't there as the foundation. So we need to start with our to be. And I've attached for you today in the outline a set of leadership characteristics. And I just want you to spend time on this. I know everybody's going, oh, Mary Jo, you're saying spend time on the questions, spend time on the to be. This is a thought-provoking time in your lives if you choose to jump in and do it. And it's fun because it's fun for me even how many times I've done it before because, you know, I believe in change and I know that myself as a person, I change every year. And that's why I love to go through this every year, the process, because it gives me new insight into myself. But, you know, spend time with the questions and then spend time looking at that list, the leadership characteristics. And I'm not saying that these are the only leadership characteristics that exist because there are tons of other ones. In fact, I could do pages and pages of them. You can go on the internet and look up leadership characteristics, and they'll give you tons of those. They'll give you lists and lists and lists. But what I'm asking you to do is go through them and circle the ones that you feel that you have the greatest need to work on. Circle the leadership characteristics you feel you have the greatest need to work on. Some of you might circle 20, and then I'm going to ask you to, hey, limit yourself. Go back and maybe choose 5 to 10 at most, because you're not, 20 is going to be overwhelming. But you could hang on to that sheet for next year because you could be working on it then. But pick 4 or 5 that you really, really want to work on. And that becomes what we call your to-be list. Because every day when I look at my to-do list, there's a beingness that I relate to on that to-do list. Because I know that that's my foundation. My beingness is going to be the foundation of anything I create. So we want to start working on who we are and what characteristics do we want to promote for ourselves? What kind of person do we want to become over the next year? Because if we don't work on our beingness, we'll never effectively achieve the results that we want nor maintain them. So critically important to work on our beingness. So make sure and then you can draft statements. I like to draft affirmation statements about my to-be list because those are very powerful. It's feeding your number two every day of your life. And if you're living a life without having affirmations, then I'm going to tell you, you're living a shallow life today. Affirmations are what help you drive yourself to be that better person that you choose to be. So make sure that you have a set of affirmations that align with the to-be list that you've drafted. And then from when you get the clarity around that, that's when you can start working on your vision. You can go back and say, here's the clarity of my values. Now I can go back and work on that vision. Because going through the value work is going to help you with your vision work. And mission statement time, you know, that takes time, but you can develop it. I think mission statements are really critical, too, so that you have a greater vision in your life. And you may not get there in the next 7 days before we have the next call, but now's the time to spend the time doing it. Don't put it off. This is critical work that we need to do, and we need to do it on an annual basis because we do shift. Things shift. All right, so we got values and vision down. Everybody got that? Now let's go a little bit into the Life as Art, the book, and how he talks about it. And for some of you, this might be a little bit over your head, but just grab the pieces that make sense to you that you can relate to, because he gets a little heavy in his book. It's philosophical. It's not something that's just taken lightly. He talks about life as art as a creative process, and he says there's three principles of the creative process. Principles that are actual mechanics of the process. So in other words, there are activities in the process that are just mechanical, and they're called design and execution. And design would be what? Our design in our process would be our plan, and we'll get to that. That's a strategy session. That's beyond the goals, but it's part of a plan. You know, it's critical to the plan is to take action, and we know that. A lot of us have great plans on how to move forward, and then we don't go out and contact people on a daily basis. We don't go out and get new people involved in our organizations. Well, your plan's going to fall to pieces if you don't take action on it. But to design and execute a plan, you must develop many skills, and some of the skills we're talking about today is the skill of forming and developing vision. You know, that's a huge skill that we have to have, because if you don't have that underlying direction and vision, again, that you don't have that rudder in the water, no plan will even make sense because you don't know where you're going. Plan has to have a net result. Number two is the skill of evaluating your current situation, and we're going to talk about that soon because we're going to talk about structural tension. The skill of developing the right strategies and tactics, and this has a lot to do with brainstorming and masterminding with other people, so it's not all about you. There's plenty of help out there to support you. The skill of using feedback to adjust actions, that's critical. Because a lot of times when we get feedback, you know, our first response is that we go into being self-righteous. We need to be right, so we defend our position. I see it happen every day in my coaching calls. I'll say something to somebody, and they'll go, well, Mary Jo, but this is how I did it, and that, but, and that. And I go, I feel badly, and I don't go, a lot of times I won't go any further, but when people respond that way, you know, the defensive posture is great for those of you who want to stay exactly where you are. So start looking at your life and looking at how you get defensive when people give you feedback, and when that happens in your life, you got to look twice and say, wait a minute, I'm sitting in self-righteousness saying I have to be right. Number two, I'm giving the other person's opinion no validity whatsoever. And I don't ever want to do that. I don't want to discount people in my life. So when somebody gives me feedback, I want to be able to be open and ready to hear and say, okay, let me chew on that. My initial reaction historically was always more rambunctious than that. Being a lawyer, I was trained. I was a fighter. You know, it was a boxer. You tell me something I don't agree with, and I'm right after you. Now when somebody tells me something I don't agree with, I don't jump all over them. I just say, well, you know, that's an interesting viewpoint. I need to think about that. Because maybe there's a reason I don't agree, and maybe my rationale for where I am isn't very sound. And if I believe that my life is full of change, that to be a better person I need to change, then I'm going to be open and ready to hear that. So evaluating feedback is huge for us. The skill of generating momentum and traction, that's gigantic. And how do we know momentum is generated? You guys know this answer because you've heard from me so many times. The number one way to create momentum is to take massive action. What does that mean? Contacting one person a week? No. It means taking on today and saying, you know what, Mary Jo, I've been contacting two people a week. I'm going to go up to two a day. And then all of a sudden you're going to go to three a day. And then you see what I'm saying? That for you would be massive action. That for you will create momentum in your business. But you've got to do it to create that momentum. Okay. And traction is just keeping. You know, attraction for us in Manatech, for me, traction is, you know, what am I doing to support the people I get started? Because nothing's worse than going out and creating great momentum by, you know, contacting lots of people and getting them signed up if I'm not retaining them. So I got to create traction there by retention plan. Principles are about your orientation as a creator, okay? Now, again, don't go south on me from a Christian perspective. We know who the creator is. That's why the creator here is a small c. But you are a creator of your own life in many ways. So don't go into denial of that and become victim to God, because he's not creating what happened in your life last day, yesterday, or today. He's not making choices for you. You're making choices for you. He gave you free will to make those choices to create what you're going to create in your life. So your orientation is about where you live. Okay, so we talk about orientation. Let's say you're a great prospector, but somewhere in your psyche you had a deep-seated fear that if you succeed, something bad would happen. See what happens to you. Boom, it stops you. So you need to look at what are the concepts in your life, what are the fears, what are the belief systems in your life that aren't supporting you. And you're going to have to shake free from these beliefs and shake free from circumstances that you've created in your life. And some of those circumstances are things like being excessively in debt or being, you know, in a bad relationship or being in, you know, I talked to somebody the other day that felt like they were in the wrong church. And I, you know, feel you're in the wrong church, then, you know, pray about it and get some, you know, some real direction on where you need to be. But I'll recommend one thing. The minute you find a perfect church and you join it, it won't be perfect anymore. And it's not just because of you. It's because none of us are perfect human beings. So when you build a church, you're making it up of all imperfect human beings. So how could there be a perfect church? So the idea is that, you know, we look at our circumstances around us, and because they play a huge dominant role in our life. I mean, it's huge. So it's important for us to surround ourselves and have an orientation, a shift in our orientation to put us in the best possible posture. This is another reason why one of the first things I do in a pathway class is I get people to clean up their office. I get them to find a space in their house. I don't care where it is, how small, how large, wherever it is, but you have a set-aside area that you call your office for your Manatech business. If you don't honor your business that way, you haven't set up an orientation to be successful. You can't run this business on a kitchen table with sheets of paper flying underneath the pans and the cooking sheets and whatever else has been getting spilled margarine and eggs on it, because that doesn't work. So you need to shift, okay, to being one in a circumstance that instead of responding, you're generating, you're becoming independent. So instead of constantly responding to circumstances, you become independent and you're in a generation mode. In other words, you're creative. You're opening yourself so to be able to open up that creative flow. So it's kind of, Stephen Covey gets in this too, instead of being reactive, we want to be proactive. And your spirit is critical. We all have a spirit. The creative process, your true spirit in essence is through your life. Your deeper your spirit, your religious walk, etc., can have a dominant place in your life and will enrich you in the most incredible ways. And we know that. We know that. It's kind of like if some of you have been through Klemmer, you remember the head where he draws the three circles the top circle, then the next circle is a little bit bigger, and the bottom circle doesn't even have a bottom to it. It's the bottom circle is that spirit. It's the infinite. And the infinite is the greatest power that you have in your life, so you want to make sure that you tap into that power as part of your creative process. That's your greatest power you have in your life. So your life is art. That's kind of an opening premise in Fritz's book. He talks about structural tension, and structural tension is the best and most powerful way there is in the creative process, because it creates, it's about you creating some tension between where you are, your reality today, and where you want to be in life. And you've got to look at the relationship between those two positions. And the first step to that comes with you acknowledging your reality. Because if you don't acknowledge your reality, you can't create the tension. Tension, and give you some idea about what he talks about here, tension, this is really fascinating to me. If you take a rubber band and you put it between two fingers and stretch it really far out, that tension has to be resolved. There has to be a resolution of that tension. You cannot keep your fingers there forever. That tension that you have created must be resolved. Now, many things can happen. The rubber band can break, and the tension's totally released, and neither position moves. Or one of those fingers can come closer to the other finger. And that's the direction we're talking about here with creating tension in your life, structural tension in your life, is when you look at your reality and you get crystal clear where your reality is, and then you set a goal up here of where you want to be, now you've created tension in your life. And some of you look at tension as stress, and I'm going to tell you it's not stress. It's not a stressful word. Some of you want to look at it that way, and you choose to feel that goal setting is stressful. I don't feel it's stressful. I feel it's exhilarating. You need to change your outlook on what that is all about. It's about excitement and exhilaration about what you have the capacity to create, and set your belief system in that direction instead of making it a stress. The stress is the tension between not something inside of you, but the tension that you're creating between your reality and where you're going. That's where the tension is, not inside you. It's inside the exercise of creating this model to help get you moving forward, get you moving in a direction to create what you want in your life. Because tension seeks resolution, okay? So we want to contrast our goals with our reality, and in order to do that, we need to first of all evaluate our current situation. Our ability to live in reality is essential. That's an incredible statement. Our ability to live in reality is essential. And I'm going to tell you, the majority of this world today is fleeing from that concept. They're fleeing from that concept. They spend other people's money profusely because they're living in somebody else's reality, not their own. They watch, you know, all these TV shows because they want to live somebody else's life. They buy all these, you know, magazines off the mag rack by the grocery store counter because they want to live through some Hollywood star's life, which is most of which are pretty disgusting. I mean, the things that we put our eyes on and the things that we use as directional insights in our life are, if you really look at it, they're kind of out there and kind of trashy, and they don't really reflect for us, I don't think, a solid core value system. But you got to evaluate that and say, why am I doing it? Because I'm fleeing from my own reality. Well, trust me on this one. Before you ever get successful in Manatic, you got to grapple with where you are today. And you got to get real honest with yourself. And this isn't an honesty of depression. This is an honesty of, wow, when I get honest with myself, where I am today, it's going to be the first huge step for me to create a better tomorrow. Look at it that way instead of digging through stuff in your life that you don't want to grapple with. How many boxes do you have stored upstairs that you haven't gone through? How much clutter do you have in your life? How many things are you leaving, you know, relationships are you do you have outstanding that are broken? That you haven't tried to put a Band-Aid on and improve them. How much resentment do you carry in your life? All these things are just brokenness that we just carry as baggage and we don't deal with because it's reality and it's tough and it's emotionally tough And we don't, it brings us sadness, and we think that, we don't want to, we rather deal in la-la land than grapple with our reality. Well, I'm suggesting the reality is where we start. Grapple with all those. Anything is possible. You can create an incredible tomorrow, but you'll never create it unless you grapple with today. So let's grab onto our today. And for some of us, now taking it just to Manatech, and this applies to every aspect of your life, not just to Manatech, but if we talk about it in terms of Manatech, we can talk about it from a perspective of where are we in our business today? What is your current business look like? If your business looks like, you know, you can say, well, Mary Jo, because I hear people all the time, they'll tell me, oh, I'm doing this, this, and this, and, you know, if you're in my downline, it's really easy for me to figure out. When people tell me in my organization they're signing two people up a week, it's really easy for me to figure out whether they're in la-la land or in reality. How? Because I got Success Tracker. But it's amazing how people still do those kind of things. Even maybe they don't know I look at Success Tracker once in a while, but if I'm coaching and I'm working with you, I'm surely going to be working in Success Tracker as well. So I know what's going on in your business. But it's they don't want to live in reality. They want to live in what their wishes, wants, and all that kind of stuff is, instead of living in reality. So you got to grasp onto what your current reality is. So look at your Manatech business and say, where is my current reality? And boy, that's tough. And I'm doing this too, because my current reality looks really different than it looked 3 years ago in Manatech. I don't know very many people except for the South Africans that have tremendous growth, or maybe a few Koreans, not all, few of them, that have had tremendous results in the last couple of years in Manatech. So most of us have seen our GPV go down. We've seen some major losses in terms of even perhaps business builders in our organization. But that's our current reality, and that's what we look at, and we go, wow, here's my current reality. This is where I am. This is my exact GPV. This is my business builder list. This is the direction I have, and just put it down there. And don't get depressed about it. Just look at it. It's reality. It's where you are today. And then from that reality is when you start setting your goal, and you put your goal will be up above. And I gave you a sheet to work on this to create that structural tension in your life between goal and current reality. And you can look at that attachment to the outline. And it's an exercise that really requires you to have a goal, but you can, if you have one already in mind that you're going to be putting on your goal list, we're not setting goals yet for this week, but if you have one in your mind that you want to put in there, you can play with that chart this week, but only play with that after you do answer your questions that I said that are found at the beginning of the outline. On page 2 of the outline, answer those questions, draft your to-be list, work on your leadership characteristics, work through a core value analysis, what are your core values, work on your mission statement, okay? And then only after you do all that do I want you to get involved in this, because this can be something you do after you start setting your goals. But some of you have goals already in mind that you want, but the first thing you got to do is grapple with current reality, and that's what I want you to do. Definitely grapple with that current reality and get that really clear in your head. No lies, no misrepresentation. Don't make it blow it up. Don't make it like what you told your best friend in Manatech or your best friend in Melaleuca because you wanted to make her feel that somehow you were doing better than she was, so you puffed up your analysis of your Manatech business. Just get real with yourself. Get real with yourself. Where is your Manatech business? And write it down in current reality, okay? And from there, you're going to be able to develop a master plan, because you're going to be able to set a goal, create that tension, put the strategy steps between that are going to resolve the tension that exists between where you are today and the goal that you're going to create. Tremendous ability to do that, and really a fun exercise to do, because it really highlights to you the importance of, you know, getting real with yourself today, and then because you're starting from a baseline position, and that's where we need to be. Don't play games with ourselves. We're not living in a reality show. We're not living in a Hollywood magazine. We're not living on television. We're not living somebody else's life. We're living our life. It's the life God's given us. It's what we're living. It's our reality today. And acknowledge that for what it is, and then set the goals to correspond with that. Okay? So create that. We're going to be creating that structural tension. But first, again, write down that reality, your reality look. And you can do this as well in every aspect. You can do it with your financial status. You can do it with your relationship status. How many people know? I mean, this really burdens my heart. And, of course, I was just at a women's conference this weekend, too. But the burden on my heart was how many people are stuck in relationships that are just so unhealthy, and they just keep lying to themselves about the health of the relationship. And they're miserable, and every day they just try to convince themselves of something different. And they spend their life trying to convince. And what a waste of a life. What a true waste of a life and an existence if you spend it entirely fighting with yourself and trying to convince yourself that you have a healthy relationship when you don't, because you just don't want to admit it. So that's a lot of stuff, a big burden to carry. And I want you to free yourself from that. I want you to work on, you know, creating that structural tension. And so you have a strategy. And it may not be freeing yourself. It may be some way, a directional way of getting that relationship to improve or do something different. But until you sit down and study the reality of it, you're never going to get to a greater position. The goal is not going to be reached. Finally, the last thing I'm going to ask you to do over the next week to lay that foundation is going to be, you know, before we go forward and say what our year is going to be look like and build in activities to make our life different and activities to help reach our goals, I think you got to do an analysis of what you did in 2009. So my last sheet that's also attached to the outline today is what we call Annual Review of My Manatech Business. And it says activities in 2009 and proposed in 2010. And the whole purpose of this is that you want to change your activities. And you want to change your activities because if you keep doing the same thing you've always been doing, you're going to keep creating the same results. And I think you want greater results in 2010. And people know that this is a form, and I didn't have a form in my early stages, but I'll never forget as a first year in Manatech, when I went out and I started my Manatech business, at the end of 1999, I sat down and I said, okay, let's see what's working, what's not. And I made a list of everything I did in 1999. And on the right-hand side of the sheet, I said, am I going to continue doing this? Am I going to delegate it? Am I going to shift and do it differently? How is it going to look in the year 2000? Because if I keep doing what I've been doing, I'm going to be stifled with the results I create. Even though I was creating great results, I still needed to improve in order to create greater results. And that's the truth about network marketing. It's an ever-changing business. It's the only reason I'm still in network marketing, I believe. Because if you look at the history of Mary Jo's past, I never lasted longer than 3 years at any job I ever had in my life. And the main reason for that was I got bored. I never got fired or released from any of my employments. I always started looking for something bigger and better or something new and different. I got stymied. I got stifled. So isn't that intriguing that that's part of who I am? That's part of just my makeup. And I get into network marketing, and all of a sudden I'm looking back going, I've been in Manatech now for 10 years, doing Manatech as a business since 1999. And I'm going, wow, who would have ever thought? But the reason is I look back, and when I analyze this a few years back, after maybe 6 years, because I was still in kind of like, what am I doing here? I was like, it's clear that every year my life changes. Every year I do something different. Every year, so the business changes all the time for us. And this is the form that you use to really make sure that you're implementing changes. Because if you keep doing the same thing you're always going to be doing, you're going to create the same results. And you want bigger and better results in your life. I hope. I pray that's true. Because I know there's greatness out there for you to grab onto. So that's why you want to fill this out. So draft your activities in 2009, and then go, what am I going to do in 2010 that's going to look different? And some of the things will be the same. Some of the things you'll agree to do that are the same, because some of them are really supporting you. But other ones you need to fine-tune and tweak, and other ones you need to drop off. My favorite drop-off item is managing automatic orders. If that's an activity of yours in 2009, I suggest you get rid of that one and support your people in managing their own automatic orders or getting off automatic order altogether. I mean, there are many ways of skinning the cat. And today, you don't have to worry about losing the 5%, so you can't argue with me. People can call in and change their auto order because Manitech's not doing that anymore. So you let people manage their own. And it's important for you to do that because if you're arguing with me, and we'll just talk about this one topic, if you tell me, well, Mary Jo, if I do that, then I might lose them. They may not continue ordering. And then I'm going to ask you, then where's their commitment in the first place? I mean, if you have to grab onto people and order for them every single month or they won't order, that activity in and of itself comes from scarcity mentality, and it's going to freeze you from growing your Manitech business because you're spending so much time and energy around just maintaining that little bit of volume that you have. But it sure keeps you, you know, if you keep busy like that, it'll prevent you from going out and contacting new people. So you can stay in your quote-unquote comfort zone. But you'll never go anywhere with your business. So start evaluating those things. That's the kind of concept I'm talking about in touch with your current reality. But making your list of your activities and seeing, is it serving me? Is it not? How should it look different? And if you need some help on that, find a buddy. Find a partner. Find a mentor. You can find somebody cross-line, up-line, down-line, whatever. Brainstorm with people so you get it really clear. But this form is invaluable for you to build a better business in 2010. Okay, does everybody get it? Oh, I did put in here a little bit on the law of vibration, and I suggest you go look it up. I'm not going to get into it because I don't have enough time, but the law of vibration is an awesome law. It's just a general law about us being energy fields and vibrations we send out, and the critical importance of us in terms of the vibrations that we're sending out there in the universe and how we're sending these vibrations. Because really, when you look at our bodies, we're just an electrical system, our human body. You look at the brain, you know, in our brain, sensations are transformed into muscular action. Sound, heat, light, and thought are also each in their turn transformed into other frequencies. All of these things are going on in our body. So we refer to this phenomenon of all this, the brain controlling the body. That's all referred to as the vibratory control of the body, but we also have vibrations we send out all the time in our environment. And we tend, and there's a direct correlation between the law of vibration and the law of attraction. Whatever vibrations we're sending out, typically we're attracting back to us. So we got to start looking at what are we sending out there. And that's a great play in here. I talked about it on page 2 of the outline, but I never reviewed it. But look up the law of vibration and try and understand that as well. It will really help you on a play of what you're to be, your beingness, and choosing to be that better person. Okay? So anyway, so that's it, people. That's it. A lot of homework. Oh, yeah, yeah. You go, Mary Jo, Monday calls aren't supposed to be about homework. Your choice. You do it or don't do it. Next week, we're going to continue on the path of goal setting, and the first thing I'm going to do out of the box is going to be review what people did the last week. So we're going to talk about if you do the work and you want some feedback from Mary Jo, next Monday is going to be the time to get it. I'll go through review a few things with people, and then we're going to move forward on the next section 2 on goal setting. Okay, people, I love you. Let's do this. Let's lay that foundation. Let's make 2010 the best year yet. And the number one way to do that is to lay a foundation from which you can catapult and make the greatness in your life that you so desire. All right. Love you all. Any last-minute questions? Okay. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.